You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Well, I forgot to update the intro again. Although it's going to be correct again tomorrow, but back in the air chair, fill it in on the Gym Class. Spencer Wagon, alongside Mark Dukes, producer Andrew, here with you for the next hour. Talking sports with you on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. It is a basketball heavy day. We are watching Wisconsin and Northwestern on the Big Ten Network. Looks like it's been an entertaining affair. We had Iowa State play earlier today. The Hawkeyes set to play later on tonight. And sandwiched in between all that, we're going to talk some wrestling today. Mark Ironside said to join us coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes or so. Going to take a look at those NCAA seeds, which came out. I had the info somewhere. They're right here. This is that time of year, right? I've got a stack of brackets right here. I've got other stuff that I need. I got audio cuts. But I need the important stuff for when Mr. Ironside comes in, and that's the seeds and brackets for the NCAA Wrestling Championships, and we'll talk about that later on in the program. 319-366-1600 if you want to chime in at any point during the program today. Talk line, text line open for you as we come to you on a gorgeous day here again on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, all across eastern Iowa. Looks like things could get a little hairy tomorrow, late day, evening. Keeping our eyes on that, of course, and hopefully the worst of it will miss us, but we'll deal with that as it comes. Today we've got a flurry, if you will, of things to talk about with basketball and wrestling, and boy, a ton of things happening today. Mark Dukes, how are you doing over there?
Doing great, Spencer.
Let me turn your mic on first. That would be good.
Doing great, Spencer.
I had the mic on, just the wrong one up. I'm like,
rookie,
what am I doing here?
Rookie.
No.
Just a rookie from 3 to 4.
That's true. Oh. Yeah. I'm no Scott Unash.
No, great to have you back. And Scott, if you're listening, get another tough one for the metro area. Xavier losing at the last second after Linmar lost in the last second or so last night. But yeah. Great calls from Des Moines, and we'll see Scott back here tomorrow.
Yeah, we're back to full strength tomorrow, full afternoon of programming. I've said to you before the show started, if Iowa State had won, and I see you, Cyclone Tim, on the text line, but if Iowa State had won, we would have been able to carry the pregame at 5 and with the tip-off at 6 tomorrow night in the semifinals. But you mean to tell me I got to do a 2-hour show tomorrow? Come on, Cyclones, really? Won't you please think of us, your loyal radio affiliates? No, I'm kidding. I enjoy doing radio. I enjoy doing this show, that show, whatever I'm assigned to do. I'm, as Kevin Lehman called me yesterday, the Tame and Lipsy of 1600 ESPN of sorts. So,
You came off the bench. He didn't.
True, yeah. And today, big story, of course, was his health. The health of Keyshawn Gilbert, and as Cyclone Tim mentioned on the text line, and something we cannot ignore because the threes were falling left and right in that game, especially for the BYU Cougars. It's only a quarterfinal game, and this was one of the more entertaining games I think we've seen in this championship week so far. Just back and forth action. Iowa State had the lead at halftime, 53-49. They were down by 10 at one point in that first half, and then Curtis Jones just, I don't know if he morphed into Steph Curry or some weird combination of him and Damian Lillard and Kobe Bryant. I don't know, but he took over in that game. In the end, not enough. And you really wonder, Mark, I was watching that game, listening to the radio coverage here on 1600 ESPN. I think playing yesterday and having a short bench and tiredness caught up to Iowa State, especially at that pace. Not much you can do. You would have liked to win, but you put up a great effort. And now it's just sit back and wait for Selection Sunday for Iowa State.
Yeah, hats off to Iowa State, because without Tamen Lipsey, without Keyshawn Gilbert, I thought Iowa State put up a game effort. And I'll tell you what, Spencer, put BYU and Iowa State on a reel, and I'll watch it every week.
Absolutely.
I mean, after the regular season, double overtime game, this game, man, it was great competition. You mentioned all the threes, a Big 12 tournament record, mm-hmm. number of threes. I think they were 20-10 each in the first half.
Yes.
It was just it was fun to watch.
Yeah, the threes were falling left and right. Like I said, 20 combined. You mentioned that they actually broke the record Iowa State and BYU did for the most combined threes in a Big 12 tournament game with 28, with 9:18 left to play in the game. So that was incredible, and ended up, I believe, breaking the record for any Big 12 game ever at 31 total. In the game. But you look at it, you know, Iowa State kept pace in that first half, 10 threes apiece. Curtis Jones doing the heavy lifting with his performance in that first half, 6 of 9 in the opening half for Iowa State. But you look at the differential in the second half. I think that's where you see the pace of the play, the short bench, not enough depth for Iowa State to catch up to them. Iowa State just 3 of 13 from beyond the arc in the second half. Whereas BYU made 8 more, 8 of 15, 18 of 36 all told. That's 50% from beyond the arc. And sometimes, you know, teams just get hot, and BYU was red hot today in Kansas City.
And it just wasn't just one guy, as you know.
Yeah.
It was a variety of different players. This BYU team could be a very tough out, not only in this tournament, but going forward because of all those different. They spread the floor well. They move the ball well. And when they're making threes like it did today, I mean, it's a tough team. I mean, they're not very strong inside.
Mm-hmm.
So many different players can hurt you, and that's what happened with Iowa State today. I think Lipsy's absence probably hurt more on defense
mm-hmm.
than anything else. I mean, Gilbert's been up and down with his injury. I don't know, even with a week's rest, what his condition is going to be. I guess we don't know what Lipsy's is going to be either, but because he didn't play today. But they need those two guys back just from a rotational standpoint. And they're better off with, obviously, every team is, but everybody available.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw a video from Chris Williams from Cyclone Fanatic inside the locker room just after the game ended, and Taman Lipsy told him he was about 60% today.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't necessarily that Lipsy couldn't play, but it was one of those where, okay, is the – and these are Lipsy's words, and I apologize, I don't have the audio, but is it worth it for me to go out there? This is me speaking as Taman Lipsy, but is it worth it for him to go out there, play at 60% and not be able to fully impact the game in a positive way? And this is something we talked about yesterday, right? With when Lipsy's injury popped up, with still the unknowns about Keyshawn Gilbert. Okay, at what point, if you're Iowa State, do you kind of what we had talked about, where okay, maybe it's worth it for us to rest him and take maybe out of the equation? At what point do you just say, yeah, we're going to put up an effort, we're going to play this as hard as possible, but we'd rather get our guys as close to 100% for what's coming down the road here? And I heard not just Lipsy, but other players today after the game, both on the radio network and on social media, say, we're upset we lost, but we get a week off. Because the earliest they're going to play in the tournament is a week from today, Thursday. If they're lucky, maybe it's a Friday-Sunday kind of situation. We'll see where that ends up. But if you're playing the long game, if you're looking long term, you're fine with a week off. You would have loved to stay through the weekend in Kansas City and hang out in the Power and Light District and get everybody who didn't come down from Ames to make the trip down I-35. But even with the loss, you're happy with the effort, and you're looking ahead to hopefully a nice run here coming up when the brackets are revealed this weekend.
I'm sure bar owners in Kansas City are not happy that Iowa State's ousted.
That's true.
But
they still got Kansas alive. Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. But had this been the national championship game, I think Lipsy probably would have gutted it out. But what's the point in the end? I think most coaches will listen to the medical advice, listen to the player, and not put that player in jeopardy. And if that's what T.J. Otzelberger did, good for him.
319-366-1600. Curtis Jones, really the star of the game, 31 points, 7 of 15 from 3. Only one made 3 in the second half. He was 6 of 9 in the first half, like I mentioned. Milan Momcilovic, solid game from him, 18 points, and then 14 apiece for the Presidents, Joshua Jefferson and DeSean Jackson. I thought Nate Heisey had a pretty solid game, too. He's called into, well, the role he was at UNI pretty much because of the depth issues. But 32 minutes, just 6 points, but 7 rebounds, 3 steals as well for Nate Heisey. He ended up falling out of the game late in that contest. Hey, solid effort. Won't be a Big 12 tournament title, but a chance to rest up for March.
And BYU now gets to take on probably Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston taking on Colorado, I think, as we speak.
Yes.
And then Baylor, Texas Tech, and Kansas and Arizona on the bottom side of the bracket. But BYU-Houston could be a very interesting game. But a week off for Iowa State. Probably not going to be lower than a 3 seed.
Right.
Obviously not going to reach a 2, but I think comfortably a 3.
Yeah, the Joe Lunardi still has him as a has Iowa State. Iowa State is a college, a university, not a living, breathing human being. Iowa State is a 3 seed, still playing in Milwaukee, taking on the Trojans of Troy. That is the latest projection from Joe Lunardi with that. 319-366-1600. You mentioned that Houston game. How about Colorado? You got to give Tad Boyle's team a ton of credit. I mean, they gotta keep winning just to even sniff the NCAA tournament. But they're only down 5 at the half to Houston. So they've already knocked off, what, TCU and West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I think Houston's going to ultimately win the game. But Cougars playing with their food maybe a little bit. We'll see here. It's literally number 1 versus number 16 in the Big 12 bracket. So, I mean, who knows what will happen. But Houston only up by 5.
Desperate teams do desperate things.
That is true.
16s and 15s.
And 5th. Very, very good segue. we'll kind of sandwich our Iowa discussion here and get you more of a preview and some final thoughts after Mark Ironside joins us here in just a little bit. But you know what? Again, you tip the cap to Iowa for not packing in the season. You know, just considering all the injuries and just inconsistent play and all this stuff. Hawkeyes got it done. And Brock Harding, I mean, talk about stick-to-itiveness there. The really just brutal turnover in the backcourt, allowed Ohio State to stay in that game, but got that key 3 to push the lead back to 5. And then Iowa able to close it out. They win by 7 points last night. I think the run will come to an end here tonight against Illinois, because I think Illinois is, they're healthy. They're a really good team. Iowa just lost to him by 20 points just a few short weeks ago. That was in Champaign, of course, so you don't know what's going to happen in a Big Ten tournament or a neutral site setting. But they won a game that's more than people expected them to do, because many people didn't expect them to even be in the tournament just a few, well, short days ago, really, before that Nebraska game. But, a ton of credit where credit's due to Iowa for getting the job done and possibly popping a bubble in the Big Ten, playing spoiler again, just like they did with Nebraska to end the regular season. Ohio State, I think they could still get in, just considering the state of the bubble right now, but Iowa certainly did not help the Buckeyes last night in Indy.
No, and Iowa playing with house money, that's kind of a Captain Obvious statement, but it is. And Illinois is a 10.5-point favorite tonight. I'm with you. I think this is probably the end of the regular season. The Big Ten tournament for Iowa. Actually, Iowa has not won more than one game in the tournament only once since 2007.
That's crazy to think. I saw. Did you see that from Chad Lystico earlier today?
And that was the 2022 conference or Big Ten tournament championship team. So it wouldn't be unusual for Iowa to not win 2 games in the tournament. But again, playing with house money, Harding. I haven't been a huge fan of Harding. Mm-hmm. I think he's Iowa's best ball handler. Thelwell struggles a little bit in that regard. Harding can penetrate, but he can't finish usually. Mm-hmm. He had a couple in this game. But when he's hitting threes, and he was 3 of 3 from three-point range, and including the onion shot.
Onions. Onions!
It was onions.
It was, absolutely.
If he's doing that, all the better for Iowa.
Yeah.
And they got other contributions. Dembele, I thought, played really well. at 8 points, 9 rebounds, and he hasn't always been that great as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these guys who've been forced to step up with the injury to Owen Freeman. You'd mentioned Dembele. You could really, I'm no basketball expert by any means, but you could see, I think, the potential with Sadou Traore, and I'm curious to see. I think back to Filip Rabracha, mm-hmm. and how year one there are times he looks so out of place. You could see what the vision was there, but he felt kind of out of place in the system at times. But then year two, you know, he got to work first of all in the offseason, and then came in and he was a really impactful player for Iowa. I wonder, and there's a lot of other factors at play. I don't want to necessarily get into everything that could or might not happen here in the offseason regarding the Iowa program, but you could see, I think, what the coaches see at times with Traore, mm-hmm. and why they brought him in. I don't feel like he plays fully under control and fully in the system sometimes, but he's stepped up. Dembele stepped up. Evan Bronze, of course, is the guy that I think a lot of people have looked to over the last several weeks since Freeman went out. You know, his story is well documented. The hometown kid, always wanted to play at Iowa, transferred to Iowa, but didn't really ever see the court because he's behind Owen Freeman, another, you know, experienced and, dare I say, more talented players. But talk about stepping up. Evan Bronze certainly has done that, and you have to give credit to those guys that have filled in, maybe not perfectly for Freeman. You can't replicate that lost production 100%, but they've all done, I think, really well.
Basketball is really pretty simple. You need to make shots, and you need to stop the other team from making shots.
Yes.
And when I was making shots, as it did last night, and actually Kevin Lehman kind of predicted this, he said Iowa needed to make 10 to 12 three-pointers, and I think Iowa made 10.
Yep, 10 for 24.
Yeah. And that got it done. And in regards to Traore, I think he's got a lot of upside. He's, I think, one of, if not the most athletic players on the team in terms of jumping ability, quickness, and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You're right, Spencer. He gets out of control from time to time, but he can create some things as well. A lot of upside with him, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see if it comes down or everything comes to an end tonight. Iowa, like you mentioned, a 10.5-point underdog. There still is postseason play awaiting on the horizon. Fran McCaffrey in some of the postgame comments yesterday, I don't want to, maybe I hope Fran knows something that we don't. I mean, he's the head coach. You'd think he would, but he said, we're looking forward to the crown.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm assuming that's a done deal, that they're going to get into the college basketball crown. I've seen some projections for them in the NIT. Nobody knows. We're all going to find out, of course, on likely Sunday or Monday when all that gets decided. But they have postseason opportunities to come. And, again, these extra practices, right, are, I think, useful for a guy like Traore to hone the craft and get a jump start on 2025-2026.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament isn't over yet. We expect it to be. Maybe some expected it to be over yesterday, and it wasn't.
Right.
And hats off to Thornton from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. He's really a good, smooth player. But should Iowa somehow find a way to beat Illinois tonight, I don't expect it to happen. I know 52-84 on the text line expects it to happen, but
Hawks win by 10, says 52-84.
Fran McCaffrey believes they're going to be in the crown.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's a done deal already.
It might be. I heard some other reporters mention that as well.
Give us a million, we'll be there.
Yeah, donate it to the mm-hmm. NIL fund, and we'll be. We'll be on the line. We'll be on the plane getting to Vegas for that. 319-366-1600 awaiting the arrival of Mark Ironside here in just a bit. I think we are also getting a call in here, so I'm trying to manage the time here, manage the clock. It's like there's a minute left and we've got a 5-point lead.
How many timeouts you got left?
I don't know. I got to check the pocket here. Troy is on the phone line. Let's get to Troy. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, and then we'll bring in Mr. Ironside to talk some wrestling here on 1600 ESPN. Troy, real quick, what's on your mind?
Minnesota jobs open. Indiana's open. From what I've heard, some former state of Iowa coaches in prep prep players are in line for the jobs. How do you think fans will react if those guys end up at Minnesota and Indiana? McCollum, McDermott, DeVries.
Yeah, good question, Troy. Thanks for the call. 319-366-1600. There are a lot of names being floated out there, and McCollum is the hot name, not only here, possibly, you know, locally, hyper-locally in Eastern Iowa, but his name's been out there for Indiana, Minnesota, and anybody that's looking for a job, anybody that's looking for a new head coach is going to be looking for, well, someone like him who just won 30 mm-hmm. games in his first year at Drake. So to answer Troy's question, the fan reaction is not going to be positive if one of those guys slips away, but we have no control over that. That's up to Beth Getz. And I know there's a lot of speculation in sports talk radio, but at this, like, the decision will be made when it's made, if there is a decision to be made. That's my standard response, because I know as much as you do, Mark.
And that's the time to talk about it.
Yep, absolutely. 319-366-1600. We got to talk some wrestling. Mark Ironside is here. He's ready to go. Let's turn it over to the other Mark in the studio. He's got the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. What you got today?
Minnesota basketball coach Ben Johnson was fired after the Gophers' loss to Northwestern in the Big Ten tournament. The announcement was posted on Minnesota's website after 1 o'clock this morning.
That's a news dump. 1:20 a.m. coach firing.
Oh, man. Oliver Miller, the Arkansas big man who led the Razorbacks to the 1990 Final Four, has died at the age of 54. Miller played 9 seasons in the NBA. The NFL's performance-based pay program has enabled quarterback Brock Purdy to nearly double his 2024 salary. The former Iowa State star had a $985,000 contract last year, but added $858,000 from this program. Earlier today, Duke star Cooper Flagg left a game against Georgia Tech in the first half of the ACC tournament. Flagg rolled an ankle and had to be helped off the court. Finally, the National Wrestling Coaches Association has announced the Division III Hall of Fame class. Among the honorees is John Oostendorp of Coe College. He has led the Cohawks to multiple top 10 NCAA finishes. The class will be honored at a banquet August 1st in Florida.
There you go. The Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update presented by Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids, classic local American restaurant just off of First Avenue. Appreciate their support, as always, here on 1600 ESPN. Jim Glass back after this. We're talking wrestling on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. A nice and sunny day today with temperatures rising to around 70 degrees. Tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies to start. Winds will be picking up out of the south, holding temperatures in the 50s. Tomorrow, the winds get even stronger, leading to an elevated fire danger risk and helping to increase temperatures into the upper 70s. We'll then have a line of thunderstorms moving through after 6 p.m., and those storms will be capable of producing strong, damaging winds. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Brand Camp, where businesses build their brand.
The sun peaks over the horizon. Nature begins to awaken. The rooster crows, and your alarm sounds a screeching tone that jolts you from your slumber. Your heart starts pumping, and you reach to put an end to the horrid noise by hitting the snooze button. But you have placed the alarm clock far enough away that it requires you to get out of bed. As your feet hit the ground and you sit upright, you scream out in agony. Oh, my back! Notice that you didn't wake up saying, I need a new mattress. Your focus was on the problem, not the solution. Hey, I'm Stacey Dayball. What solutions do you offer to your customers? Are you telling them how you can help in a way that actually catches their attention? You need a transformation from KZIA. Let us add more customers through a proven system that finally breaks through and get your business famous for what you do. Join me April 8th at 8 a.m. for Brand Camp at the African American Museum. To register, go to KZIA.com, go to the Brandsformation tab at the top of the page, and sign up there. I can't wait to see you.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate. Paid for by Bayer.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are coming to 1600 ESPN. We'll be broadcasting Chicago Cubs games starting March 18th, proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever. That's four lines on unlimited welcome for just $25 a line per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. You'll also get the new iPhone 16 Pro, four of them for the entire family, when you trade in up to four phones from our top brands. That's a new phone for everyone, only on the network you can count on. Verizon. Visit a store today.
20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply for phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome to NFL Flag. In this game, there's a position for everyone. No matter who you are.
Let's go! Show what you got!
Lace up your cleats, smear on your eye black, step out on the field, and start having fun. This is flag football, and this game is our game.
This game!
Our game!
This game!
Our game!
This game!
Our game!
Visit NFL.com to find a league and get playing today.
1, 2, 3, let's play!
3:30 on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Almost said Wednesday edition of the Gym Class, but it's Thursday. I know my days of the week. Trust me, even with all the basketball happening and all the sports happening, period, we still know what's happening in the sports world. And time to talk some wrestling here on 1600 ESPN. Mark and Spencer and Mark. I'm outnumbered here. Two Marks in the studio. With me and then Andrew across the glass, so I got my own backup, I guess. But Mark Ironside joining us here on 1600 ESPN, the seeds and brackets outs for the 2025 NCAA championships. Talk about that and a whole lot more over the next few minutes here. You got a question for Mr. Ironside, 319-366-1600, and welcoming him into the program here, courtesy of course, Kurt Gustafson, American Family Insurance Agent here in Cedar Rapids. How are we doing, sir?
I'm great. I mean, how could you not be on a beautiful day like today?
A petition to move the show outside was denied by management. So,
well, if you could, and it worked out logistically and with all the microphones or anything, it would be the thing to do.
You look to be in a good mood. I had a listener earlier this week said, Dukes, you might want to take the Ironside segment off or move closer to away from him. Or we're talking about the Big Ten tournament. Your reaction.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do? I'm just a radio guy, you know? I mean,
you're passionate about it, though.
I mean, yeah, but it's not, I mean, you can only control what you can control. That's one thing I've learned as I've gotten older in life is that you're only in control of certain things, and then some things out of your hands, and you cannot let it beat you up. I used to let it beat me up a lot more than what it does now, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people and they're, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, can you believe that? Blah, blah, blah. We need Tom's head. We need this and that. What are they going to do? Blah, blah. It's not where you want to be at the Big Ten Championship. I mean, they didn't wrestle up to seeds at hardly any of their weights, and they wrestled way behind their seeds, a lot of weights. Nebraska had a phenomenal tournament at the Big Tens, which they did last year as well, too, and then went on to the Nationals and did not do well at all. Illinois had a fantastic tournament at the Big Tens. And Iowa had some bright spots, too. But, I mean, to talk about Tom a little bit, you know, I mean, you would think that he would be all upset and throwing up the arms. And, you know, Tom's not like that. People would be surprised he's not like that with the team. You know, I go in the back into our team camp afterwards, and we're waiting on Buchanan and Keeter to shower and get out of there so they can get on the bus, and just the coaches are hanging out and sitting back there or whatever, you know, and they're just game planning for what's to come this week. Okay, what do we got to do to get Joey Cruz into the tournament? And, you know, when's the first workout going to be? What are we going to do? You know, it's just preparation for the next thing. I mean, you can't go back and redo what just happened over the last 2 days, and you got to prep for the most important tournament of the entire season at 0 hour, and that's Philadelphia this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And after that, if they have an unfortunate tournament, well, then you know, then it's time to like maybe reevaluate and kind of look at some things and where do we go wrong? What's going on here? Blah, 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 or whatever. But, and then the other thing is too, is you're not going to gain a lot of technique. It's not like you're all of a sudden just going to get better at learning more wrestling moves or something to make you better in the next, you know, this 1 week. It's more so about the three things is your nutrition, just making sure you are really, really up on your nutrition and rest and making sure your body's feeling good. Two, your health, just keeping your body healthy, you know, not going into workouts and overstrenuating things and not, you know, they do a good job with workouts. They don't have a full room in there. They kick a lot of people out, so they have a lot of extra room in there. They're not running each other. And then the most important thing, in my opinion, is your mindset, you know, and this weather helps. But you, no matter who you are on the team, which nine guys you are that are going to the Nationals, and that you how you did in the tournament, this is a new tournament. This is the pinnacle, and you have to go into it with a fresh mind. You're going into it literally. Everything that's happened in the past is zeroed out. This is a new beginning, and this is the end, and this is highest part of the year, and that's refreshing. You're getting almost like it's a new start, but yet it's the most exciting time of the year. I mean, I remember this time of year, I couldn't even sleep. This time of year before the Nationals, I had to throw Don Williams on my tape cassette player, my CD player at the time.
You remember those, Spencer?
Just
I do. Yeah, I had one.
Just literally, I did. So he would just relax me. Otherwise, I was so revved up for this tournament every year that I could not fall asleep, and that's how I did it. Was Don Williams. So looking at the tournament, we did have some bright, you know, highlights in the tournament. I mean, look at Ben Keeter. He had a phenomenal tournament. And he's got the number 5 seed, which is great for him. He's got a tough road to hoe at the Nationals. He's not sitting in the best part of the bracket. He's going to have to do some serious wrestling to live up to that 5th seed that he got. But, I mean, it's possible. He wrestled himself to a 5th seed. It wasn't just, like, given to him, you know. So, Patrick Kennedy, I thought he had a really good tournament. He closed the gap on Levi Haynes. He got beat 10-3 again, which is the same score as last time, but I don't really constitute that last takedown that Levi got at the very end with, like, 2 seconds on the clock. But he closed the gap. He's getting closer. Levi had a hard time getting to him. You know, when we wrestled at Penn State, we wrestled Levi Haynes. Patrick wrestled a hard 5-minute match. The other day at the Big Tens, he wrestled 7 hard minutes. That's an improvement. Even though the score was the same, he still closed the gap. And then look at Caliendo. My goodness, that kid wrestled so good. Like, so good. And even Messenbrink at the end of the match was like, dude, like, thank you for coming and actually wrestling me. And this is fun. This is what it's about. And that's good competition. And it was good to see. But that's how good Caliendo is. He got the number 3 seed at the tournament, which I was kind of surprised about. But it doesn't really matter. I think he's still going to be in the finals against Messenbrink, 25. We put ourselves in that situation, got the number 2 seed. We're definitely kind of on a tougher side now. But 25 is wide open, absolutely wide open. There's probably 5 guys in that tournament. You could re-wrestle that tournament 5 weekends in a row, and there'd be 5 different champs. So Drake Ayala, honestly, has just as good of a chance as anybody else in that tournament.
33.
Or, yeah, at 33, I'm sorry. Yeah, Drake, I'm still on last year when he was at 25. But, he just got caught against Bird. I shouldn't say he just got caught. He got caught hanging his head. It was his own fault. And credit to Bird, he was looking for a fall. I mean, he went over there and he threw in that half over the top. He caught him and he put him away fast and hard. And Drake cannot, in that position, he has to wrestle through the position. And that's he just didn't do that. He got caught hanging his head, and that's bottom line. Corey Teamer, 18th seed at the national championship, and you're a national runner-up the year before. That's crazy, you know? So,
he was 7th in the Big Ten, and he's 8-4 this year.
I know it. And but the thing is, the kid is a gamer. Like, I don't know. He could totally, totally not place, okay? He could not even be on the war stand, or he could win the dang tournament. He could. I mean, I tell you right now, he's that talented. Watching him wrestle in that 7th place match, now granted, the competition level wasn't as high there, but that guy showed me some stuff that was like, oh my gosh. If he could just put together like that all the time, it just is insane to watch. But he's also banged up a little bit too. So now, what I will say, and I know I've been talking, I haven't let you ask a lot of questions, but I will say, here's the thing about our team. The biggest question of our team is going to be not how many finalists we're going to have, how many champs we're going to have, okay? Because a lot of our guys, most all of them, and I think you got an opportunity to get Drake into the finals and Buchanan in the finals.
Caliendo,
opportunity in the finals. But a lot of these guys, when they get beat, the biggest question is how are they going to perform once they get to that backside? That is the big question, okay? I mean, you could see Teamer, honestly, bailing out. You could see it. You know, I don't know.
Why would you say that?
Because just the way his body language is, you know? I mean, once your mindset and your goal and your six-year senior nationals finals last year, your goal is to win a national title, and you don't get there, and now you're six-year senior, and it's like, ah, I'm just done. Like, you know what? It's just that's we're going to find out how tough some of these guys are mentally and how big of a team player they are, and we're going to find a lot about their character in this tournament for sure.
You mentioned Teamer, question on the text line 5978. I don't know if you speak in hypotheticals, but asking, was there ever a chance of Iowa going with Estrada and redshirting Teamer?
No.
Simple as that.
Teamer was not going to be sitting in the wings all year long and waiting for another year. I mean, there was really no need to be honest with you. He was here for 1 year. He's got 1 year left to wrestle. Was wrestling, and he was healthy coming in. If he was really banged up and not healthy coming in, we can think about that. But I mean, when he's healthy coming in, we're here to wrestle. Let's go.
Isaac on the text line. He's not here, obviously. I wanted to ask you about the McAnally Starace match. McAnally, is it true freshman? Is that right?
Redshirt freshman.
Anyway, I gave Starace a heck of a match. Did you expect that? And would you expect a Starace Kekeisen final?
I do expect a Starace Kekeisen final. I think that McAmelly is a really, really good freshman. I mean, he just exposed Starace for sure. But I don't think he's good enough to get through Kekeisen. No. That's the other thing we should talk about. Penn State showed that, you know what? I'm not a Penn State hater. Like, I don't just because I'm from Iowa, I don't like hate Penn State. They got it going. I mean, they're fun to watch. They wrestle well, they wrestle hard, they're aggressive. And so I'm not here to bash or hate on Penn State, but I was really glad to see Bartlett get beat, Van Ness get beat, Barr get beat, Starace get pushed by a redshirt freshman. You know why? Not because I'm a hater, but because it shows the country and it shows our guys that these guys are human. They can be beat. You know, they can be taken down. Messenbring got taken down. They are human. So it shows the country, like, hey, you know what? Let's go. I mean, anybody can freaking win. You just got to believe. And Van Ness and Bartlett got beat early in the tournament, too. It wasn't like they got beat in the finals. So those are big upsets.
Sticky with you and I, 8699, asking if you think you and I can finish top five team points this year.
I don't know. I think they could, 100%. I should say, would I bet, you know, the savings on it? No, absolutely not. It's just, you get to the national tournament, and their schedule and conference tournament isn't what the Big Ten is. Mm-hmm. So... and they did wrestle Okie State, you know, in a duel and got beat by Okie State. They barely got beat by him at the Big 12s. They beat Nebraska this last year in a duel, but Nebraska wasn't at full strength then either, like they are now. It'll be very, very interesting to see how you and I does at the national tournament. And I think that I think going into this tournament, they have a chip on their shoulder in the fact that they're just a little team from Cedar Falls, Iowa, and that nobody probably still believes in them. And that has been their mojo all year long. And that's awesome. And I love it. And I hope they do finish in the top five. I would be elated and so happy for Doug Schwab if he and his Panther training team could finish in the top five. I think Kekeisen is honestly going to knock off Starace. I really, really think he will.
Really?
Yep. It was overtime in the All-Star meet earlier this year, and I feel it happening, and I'd love to see it happen, too. Kekeisen's awesome, and he's a great kid, and he's been so awesome for the UNI program, and I would really like to see it.
Isaac has a question about Caliendo. He's potential to face two former teammates in the first two rounds. He's got Riggins in the first round, and then perhaps Drake Rhodes in the second round. Does that familiarity help?
I think he'll destroy him. I think it'll be. It ain't gonna go the distance. I don't think. I really. And you know why? Because both those guys, Rhodes and Riggins.
Why'd they leave?
They know what they're up against, and they've wrestled and practiced so many times. They're like, oh my god, this is not good. This ain't good. You know what's an interesting matchup though? If you look at 197, did you look down that bracket?
Is that Ferraris?
Yeah. So you got Buchanan, who's the number two seed now, and then AJ Ferrari, who's the number three. AJ Ferrari, yeah, number three. So they could wrestle each other in the semifinals. And they weren't teammates, but you know who is teammates is Angelo Ferrari, our 184 pounder. And Buchanan, not only the teammates, they're like best friends.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're like incredibly, incredibly good friends, those guys. So it's kind of interesting to see how that, and I'm willing to bet that's going to be a big match in the semifinals there at 197.
Friends or family?
Well, you got to go family, but man, I mean, the team is kind of like family too, but that's blood. So you got to go blood or family, and you kind of probably have to go blood, but... I don't know. Buchanan losing to Cardenas in the of Michigan in the finals was really unfortunate. And now we got that 2 seed versus the 1, and I think he'd be on a better side situation. And but he knows too. I talked to him afterwards, and he said he just wrestled tight the whole tournament, and he kept wrestling tighter and tighter the whole tournament. I don't know if that's because Iowa's never had a 197-pound national or a Big Ten champion. A lot of pressure on him. I don't know. He's never wrestled in the Big Ten tournament before. I don't know. But he just definitely was not himself, and he wrestled tight the whole tournament, and that's exactly what he said. And he got tighter and tighter as the tournament went on.
What's the dynamic like wrestling somebody that used to be in your wrestling room, like Caliendo is about to do and has the potential to do? Obviously, it's competition, so you're not like, you know, shaking hands, hanging out, being friends on the mat, but there's got to be like a little extra motivation maybe there, right?
To I don't know. I personally never experienced it, so I don't know, but I would just think that in a situation like that for Caliendo, it's honestly no different than any other match. Right. Now, I think if they were like really good buddy buddies or something like that, you know, like I wrestled Doug Schwab one time, who him and I were great friends, but I wrestled him. And when I got done competing, I still went to wrestle in the Midlands and wrestled Doug in the finals of the Midlands. And that was kind of awkward a little bit, you know, because him and I wrestled like every single day almost in the room. And it's just like wrestling a mirror, you know, a little bit. And it's, you know, a good friend. But the same at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's a wrestling match too. So, I don't think it'll be an issue at all. Like, I don't think it's like a big, honestly, I don't think it's a big deal at all whatsoever.
In regards to the Hodge Award goes to the nation's best wrestler. Do you lean one way or another? And I kind of told myself I wouldn't get into this, but I don't think Stevenson should even be eligible this year.
We got time for your rant, Mark, wrestle. If you want to go there.
To wrestle?
Period.
Well, if he, why, if he's eligible, then he's eligible.
Well, obviously, the NCAA made a mistake.
Well, yeah, years ago.
They made a mistake because he never, there's two ways you can come back, Olympic red shirt or COVID year. Olympic red shirt, he never took one. He went to Tokyo, and he didn't want to go to Paris. So he didn't take Olympic red shirt year. COVID year, the guy's been out of wrestling for 2 years.
Well,
three years.
I don't hold that. I just don't hold that against Gable.
I know you don't make the rules, but
I don't hold that against
Gable.
That's not his
fault.
The
NCAA screwed up.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. They've screwed up so many times, and they screwed up with NIL. I mean, the one rule that they have in place is that NIL cannot be based on performance. You know, I mean, that's the one freaking rule they should have in there. It should be based on performance. To make it, honestly, like, that's what it should be based on. So we got Ja'Cory Teamer in there this year. I don't know exactly what we pay him. Crap load of money. And this is what we got so far? I mean, at the end of the year, you got to have something in place. It should be, in my mind, just like anything else. Like, you know, if you hire me as a salesperson, you're just going to go pay me a crap load of money, and then I...
Performance-based.
Yeah, it's performance. It should be performance-based, just like the real world is, you know? And or do a situation where it's a base plus commission. You know, here's every NIL person across the board gets paid, I don't know, let's throw it out, $50,000. Okay, that's a base. You win you win 75% of your matches, an extra, here's an extra amount of money. You get so many bonus points, here's an extra amount of money. You become a conference champion, here's an extra amount of money. You become an All-American, X amount of money. National champion, X amount of money. You win OW of the Big Tens, X amount. You've got so many opportunities to win so much more money throughout your performances and your career there. But you can't, it shouldn't be where you just throw all this money at someone and then it doesn't matter. They go out and wrestle 10 matches and lose 9 of them, you know, and they still get their money. To me, it's insane that the NCAA, the only rule they have is it's based, you can't base the NIL money on performance. It's just, it makes no sense. So don't even get me started.
Reminds me of Courtney Hawkins' story with Kansas State. He's upset that he didn't deliver on
Coleman Hawkins,
$2 million on the basketball floor. But Messenbrink, the guy for the Hodge?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean,
what if Kelkhuizen beat Strachan?
That's something we got to look at. So what I do is, you know, being a former Hodge Award winner, is I'm one of the votes. I get one of the votes. And Brian Van Clay from Women Magazine, after the national tournament, the week after, sends out everybody, all the statistics of everybody that's in the top, say, 10 people that would qualify for it. How many, what their winning percentage was, what their bonus point percentage was, how many matches that they won by major, how many by tech, how many by pin, what their RPI was, shows like their competition level as well, too. There's so many different things that you can look at and take into consideration. So just because someone has more bonus point victories, that doesn't mean I'm going to vote for them, even though it's based on dominance technically. But what was their RPI? You know, I mean, did they really wrestle the competition that so and so wrestled? I mean, I put a lot of that together or whatever. So, I don't know. But bonus points are play a major role in that. And I know Messenbrink, I don't know how many pins he has, but he's got a whole bunch of Tech Falls. But the other thing is, Tech Falls and major decisions, bonus points are way easier to come by, well, at least Tech Falls and majors these days versus actual falls. So in my world and my way of thinking, I'm leaning a lot more towards falls than I ever have majors or techs before, because a fall is still a fall. I mean, you get a pin, that's the pinnacle, you know, of the sport of wrestling. A major and a tech isn't, I mean, it's not as hard to get anymore.
What do you expect at Iowa at the NCAA? And we'll have an opportunity to talk to you more about that when you're in Philadelphia at the Liberty Bell, or you know, running the steps up to the Rocky statue or whatever you're going to do.
I'm excited for that. I'm really excited.
I know you are.
It's
you're
a highlight of my trip. I'm super stoked. Yeah, I can do
will
that.
Will you do that?
Yeah, I will do that.
But you've got Penn State, obviously. You've got Oklahoma State. You've got maybe Nebraska. Who else? You know,
you and I is in there. You know, I thought for sure second place was our placing to lose at the Big Tens, and we did. We lost it. We did not perform and ended up getting third. The national championships this year, still the same thing. Penn State's going to be out there by a very large margin. And it's a matter of second through probably, honestly, sixth, seventh, eighth is going to be a big logjam. And all that second through sixth or seventh, I mean, it's going to be so much back and forth throughout the whole entire tournament. And like I said earlier, the outcome of Iowa and where they're going to stand at the end of the day is how well they can perform on the backside and how mentally prepared they are to be there going into the tournament. And honestly, knowing that it's going to happen to a lot of guys, and then how are you going to respond to that? That's my biggest thing. That's why I said earlier, the mindset of these guys, that's a number one thing they should be focusing and concentrating on right now between the Big Tens and Nationals, is the mindset and staying strong and staying healthy, but and keeping nutrition. But your mindset coming, knowing that you're probably going to be in a position that you don't want to be in, how are you going to perform when you get to that position? So that's going to be the kicker to see if they finish second or sixth. I don't know.
Top six finish.
Well, I think,
well, let you reevaluate that. let you sleep on it for a week.
I'm not. Don't say that, because then it makes it sound like I'm saying, "Oh, we're going to get six." That's not what I'm saying. Don't put words in my mouth, Dukes.
Come on, Mark. You know better.
Let me move over to my right a little bit.
If we perform like we did at the Big Tens, then yeah, the national tournament, we're probably going to get sixth. But we did not perform up to our capability. If we perform up to our capability, second all day long. But are we going to do that? I mean, I'm not I'm not, I mean, nobody knows. It's just, that's why they wrestle the tournament, and that's what makes it fun. Just when you think you know something about wrestling, you don't. Look at what happened at the Big Tens. Van Ness gets beat. Bartlett gets beat. Ramos gets beat. I mean, all these number one seeds are getting upset and beat, you know, early in the tournament. You know, you just don't know.
There's so much more we could talk about, Mark, but time's short. But I know we'll talk to you again next Wednesday, and we'll appreciate that as well. But always appreciate it, and I know our listeners do well.
Well, I appreciate everybody listening. I get a lot of people that say stuff that they tune in and listen to the show and everything, and that's awesome. And I appreciate Kurt tuning in and sponsoring it every year. And I look forward to August 15th and getting on the golf course with you guys.
How about that?
Hopefully we can actually make that happen. That'd be fun. I already looked it up on my calendar. It's a Friday. I should be around. Let's make it happen and keep the rain away.
There you go. Appreciate it, sir. Safe travels to Philly. And Scott and Mark will talk to you again next week here on 1600 ESPN. Mark's Appearance brought to you by Kirk Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, here on 1600 ESPN. Back with more after this.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just gaining a contractor, you're gaining a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And back with you here on 1600 ESPN for a few more minutes. Gym class on a Thursday winding down and getting you set for my show, Spencer on Sports, coming up from 4 till 6 here. I'll get you a quick preview of that in just a moment. But a Bowling Night in America recap. I've changed the channel. Wisconsin won. And now we're on North Carolina Wake Forest. We'll get you a quick scoreboard update here in just a bit. But from the lanes, Mark, what do you got for Bowling Night in America?
Not good news. After a week after knocking off the number one team in the league, a mature adult Evergreen League, I shouldn't say mature. The Rusty Nails got drilled last night, 27-3, by Starlight. Starlight had a great night, including Warren Valeno with a perfect game in the second of three games. He had a 7-26 series, high series in the league. Dylan McCauley, 734.
There you go. If folks want more info from May City Bowl, what can they do?
Give them a call, 362-0136. And you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, that's a wrap on my couple days in this chair during the 3 o'clock hour. I know Scott's back tomorrow and back to full strength, like I mentioned earlier in the show, but been glad to be with you for a couple days here.
And we appreciate it as well. I do.
Very good.
I don't know about Scott, but
He might. I don't know. Lone Tree Zone Steve Forbes, his Demon Deacons down 65-59 to North Carolina. You have to believe North Carolina feels a little bit of rejuvenation if they win this game with Cooper Flagg's injury for Duke. Sounds like he might not play the rest of the tournament. So North Carolina could be going from bubble to in if they can keep winning games here. We'll see what happens here. But got plenty of basketball talk coming your way over the next couple hours. And be with you from 4 until 6. So, Mark, we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds great, Spence. Thanks.
That's the gym class here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports is coming up next. Stay tuned.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah.